Please be seated.
Guys, it is great to be back here after 4 years. And both Katja and I want to take this opportunity. Katja's not here, she's staying in Bristol. We've been trekking around quite a bit as a family and just need to give the children a bit of a break. But we just want to pass on our thanks to you guys for your support, for your prayers, your partnership really in the gospel. This morning I'm going to be talking about the grace of the Lord's rescue. What an amazing passage we read this morning. And just to give some context to that reading from Isaiah, it's a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah to the Jewish people in exile in Babylon. The period in which the Jewish people were in exile from the fall of Jerusalem was around 598 BC, or before Common Era as it's known now, till about 538 BC, when Cyrus the Great gave the Jews permission to return home. And what led the Jewish people into captivity at the hands of the Babylonians was the nation's disobedience. Perhaps later on, when the Jewish people in Babylon, in exile, would read that chapter from Isaiah to them, experiencing really difficult circumstances, they would be reminded that though the Lord said he would lead them, he also said that they were being punished because spiritually they had become deaf and blind, as it says in verse 16. And verse 19 describes Israel, the people of God, as the blind and deaf servant. But now God says to them to hear, look, and see. There was a call on God's people to be a light to the Gentiles. They had a responsibility to make God known to the other nations. God wasn't just there for themselves to enjoy as an elite people, but they had a mission as well to be a light to all peoples. But yet, though they heard God, they saw amazing works of God, though they are warned by his prophets, though they had the law, they disregarded what the Lord had said to them. Chapter 42, verse 24, the question is asked, who gave Jacob for plunder and Israel to the robbers? Was it not the Lord? He against whom we have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, nor were they obedient to his law. You know, was God at fault for his people's captivity? Could he not have protected them? And what about our own pain and suffering? The state of the world, is God at fault for that? You know, as we read the story of Scripture, it becomes apparent that human suffering is not God's doing. God created a good world. All that God made was good. But the people of God, in exile in Babylon at this time, reaped the consequences of their own disobedience. Despite receiving repeated warning through the prophets, they continued to harden themselves against God. And unfortunately, suffering, pain, is part of a fallen world. Our world has been tainted by sin, by our own human selfishness. Not all suffering, or the suffering that we experience ourselves, is necessarily the result of our own sin. But we are born into a world that is in many ways chaotic and out of control, and not how God intended it to be. But we also must recognize that our own sin has consequences for our lives. Our own hardness of heart leads us into harm, much like a child who may ignore the repeated warnings of their parents to stay away from the oven when it's hot, but yet insist or put their hand really where they shouldn't. There's consequences. There's very real harm. And God is a loving God. And if he tells us not to do something, not to persist in something, it's because he knows that there are consequences for us. He wants us to avoid that pain and that suffering, which is unnecessary for us. For example, when Jesus says, do not, you know, do not set your heart on worldly treasures. Do not store up treasures here on earth for yourself. He's saying, do not let your hearts be tethered here, because you will forfeit spiritual blessings. You will forfeit intimacy with me. If you are so consumed with material things in this world, you will forget and neglect the most important part of you. You were made for a relationship with me. The rich young ruler fell into that. Someone who kept the commandments came to Jesus. You know, what can I do to inherit eternal life? I do this, that, I keep the law. And Jesus said, there is one thing you still lack. And for that rich young ruler, his idol, the thing he could not let go of, was his own wealth. Not that it's wrong to have wealth, not that it's wrong to have stuff in our lives, but his heart was so consumed by the material that he missed out on following Jesus. He missed out on intimacy with him. If God tells us not to do something, not to set our hearts on something, not to persist in something, it's because he is a loving father who wants the best for us. And there is a very real risk to us, even as the people of God, that we ourselves can find ourselves in bondage. We can become imprisoned. Two things. A huge issue nowadays in the modern age is pornography. Jesus simply says, do not look lustfully. If we allow ourselves to be consumed by lust, we can find ourselves enslaved. A psychotherapist described internet porn, just to be frank and speak truthfully about these things, described internet porn as the crack cocaine of the internet. The way that people's brains are rewired because of those things. And yet there are statistics that indicate that even many Christians themselves have real issues with being enslaved, addicted to that kind of material. If God tells us not to do something, it's because he knows the consequences and the pain and the suffering that we ourselves will reap. Interestingly enough, the New Testament writers use Babylon as a description, as an analogy for our own captivity here on earth, as the people of God in a hostile world, where the world can be hostile to the true God. But in our reading this morning, we went after reading chapter 42 that gives the reason for the nation's captivity, we then come to chapter 43 and the but now, and the promise of rescue. And I want to encourage you this morning, if you doubt that God loves you, if you doubt that he is for you, read, see for yourself God's dealings with his people throughout the Old Testament. A people that hardened themselves against him, a people that disobeyed him, but yet God always lovingly took the initiative to rescue, to save. Yes, they reaped the consequences of their action, but God never gave up on them. God always reached out to them. And we have here the promise of healing and restoration. And the prophecy here of being freed from captivity and safely brought through the waters and the fire isn't just a promise to the Jews back then in Babylon, but actually it finds its full fulfillment ultimately in the redemptive work of Jesus and the final coming of his kingdom at his second return. At his return, at his second coming. God would, and he did, free his people from Babylon. There was the decree for them to go home. There was a new exodus of sort from that place of captivity back into their homeland. But also Isaiah, he was speaking of a wider regathering. Often biblical prophecy can speak of events that are immediate, but at the same time, future. Even like the passages towards the end of Matthew that talk about the fall of the temple, the destruction of the temple, but yet the second coming of Jesus. Some of that was fulfilled in AD 70. Some of that we are waiting for its fulfillment still. The second coming of Christ, which the New Testament, the second coming of Christ for Israel, which in the New Testament, Israel is the reconstituted people of God, which consists of ethnic Jews, but also Gentile believers, you and me, who put our trust in God. Jesus, that is this ultimate liberation. that new Exodus, the people of God being freed from their bondage. Matthew 24, verse 31. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So Isaiah here is talking about that future regathering, when Christ returns and finally frees us from our bondage, from our captivity here on earth. And our salvation, the Lord's gracious rescue in our lives, there is an element of it where it's now, where we experience the freedom, the liberating power of Jesus. We come into relationship with him. He can break bondage that we ourselves find ourselves in. He can heal our pain. He can heal us even physically. He can break out into our lives. But it's also not yet. There's also a future waiting. And that's the tension we live in as the people of God. We can experience, we can taste that liberation now in part, but one day we will see the full measure of it. We will see the full measure of a new heaven and a new earth. We ourselves will receive resurrection bodies. We ourselves will be fully transformed and become like Jesus. But the salvific power, the saving power of God's kingdom, it's available now to save us, to bring healing, to set free. The Bible says that the Lord is the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. God's Spirit is amongst us today. Jesus sent his Spirit at Pentecost, and his Spirit is able to bring freedom and liberation to us, to bring salvation to us. I described some of my story 20 years ago, where I asked that Jesus, who I believed in, but I had to ask him for myself to come into my life. I had to trust him for myself and put my faith in him. And on asking him into my life, I was filled with his Spirit that brought healing and transformation. It brought hope and direction. Of course, the fullness of Jimmy Rocks being made whole, that's when Jesus' return. But yet, we are all in this process when we put our faith in Jesus of being healed and restored, of being set free. And for those who the Lord liberates and rescues, he also calls them to be witnesses as well. And that promise comes, or that responsibility to the nation of Israel is set out again in 43 verse 10. You are my witness, says the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. When God comes into our lives, when he saves us, when he heals us, when we are full of his light, we ourselves are called to be witnesses to that reality, to have as a witness testifies to what they've seen and heard. Similarly, as the people of God who are being transformed and set free, we have a mission that others may know, others may be introduced to this same God who has graciously come into our lives and brought freedom. And that's not something we do alone. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When we ask Jesus in, we receive his Spirit. His life-giving Spirit dwells in us. That same Spirit who is transforming us, who puts that hope, that certainty in our own hearts, who reveals the love of God to us, he also empowers us to be witnesses. So often we think, people don't want to hear. God couldn't use me. But I want to encourage you, God is a missionary God. He's already out at work within the world. And the story I shared this morning, we've seen that, similar stories many times in Brazil. But actually I've seen things like that happen on many occasions here in the UK. And there's nothing special about me. There really isn't. Speak to my wife. She will dispel any myths. My faults are evident. My shortcomings are many. And I firmly believe if God can use me, He can use anyone. And part of our passion as well is seeing the people of God come alive and play their part in His mission. And one thing we love to do at our church, or even the churches we go around to, is encourage people, be a witness, join God in His mission. Share your faith. You never know when the Spirit will stir faith in others. Be bold. Offer to pray for others. The same Spirit that anointed Jesus, that performed signs and wonders through the apostles, the early believers, He's at work in you and me, and through us, in the lives of other people. Whether it's extending a hand to pray for someone for healing, to pray that someone would encounter the peace of God. I want to encourage you today. I don't know what your situation is. Perhaps you find yourself in a period, a season of suffering, maybe even bondage. Maybe you even realize that you are entrapped by the cords of sin. I want to say to you that God is for you, that God loves you, that He's not far from you. And He says to you this morning, as we read, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I call you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. You are precious in my sight, and I have loved you. Fear not, for I am with you." I want to encourage you this morning to reach out to Him. In your pain, in your suffering, because He loves you, He is for you, His power is available to rescue, to save, to heal, to transform. He won't force His way into your life. He needs to be invited. He is a lot closer than you realize. And so often as we reach out to Him, we realize that actually the whole time He's been reaching out to us. He's been taking the initiative. And we are also called to witness His saving power to others and proclaim to others what He's done for us. Not in a way that we're bashing people with the Bible, but lovingly, humbly, sharing our stories and our experiences of God and inviting others into that experience as well. Amen. Can I say a prayer for us? Heavenly Father, thank You for all You've done for us. That You are a missionary God who takes the initiative, who reaches out to us in our own bondage, in our own pain, often in the mess of our own sin. And I pray this morning, Father, that Your Spirit would bring greater freedom in this place. That You would meet us in our own suffering, our own captivity. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That we may experience greater freedom in relationship with You. Greater healing, Lord. And also greater boldness and confidence in witnessing to others Your rescuing power, Your amazing grace that transforms. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.